you could ask Jesus one question, what would you ask him? You know, this case, Jesus couldn't get a word in edgewise, right? But if you could ask Jesus one thing, what would you ask him? Would you ask him how he did the miracles? Would you ask him how he put mud on someone's eyes that was blind and was able to restore him? Whether he could just speak a word and a lame man could walk? Would you ask him something about the miracles that he did? Or maybe how he took bread and fish and fed 5,000? Maybe you'd want to ask that. You know, maybe it'd be something about other aspects of his life. But you know, when the disciples were with Jesus, the big question on their mind was about our topic today. They saw the prayer life of Jesus, and they were so amazed, they were so astounded, not because of the miracles, not even because of his teaching and his great ability to teach God's leadership and God's word. The main question they had for him was, Lord, could we pray like you do? Would you teach us how to pray? We laugh at somebody because they've got a list, and yet we've got lists. So how do we do it? And the focus of our series is not just what to pray, because that comes pretty easy for us. It's how to pray. In fact, I think sometimes we take what to pray and we end up repeating the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, and we end up using it as a rote what to pray. That's not what Jesus answered. What to pray. You know what he answered? How to pray. It's almost more like a template that goes over something we can then make live and prayerful. As we spend time looking at praying, and in this case, we're still on that first phrase. I'm sorry I take so long sometimes, but our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's where we're at. Just that phrase right there, spending time thinking about and focusing in on how Jesus taught us to pray. And what he said in those couple of words, in that one sentence, was revolutionary for his day. Nobody addressed God as our Father. Nobody especially called him, as we would say in Aramaic, Abba or Daddy. Nobody used an intimate fellowship-type term like Jesus did. So immediately you're kind of crashed in on those first two words. What are they? Our Father. Yeah. Our Father. Repeat that. Our Father. I mean, immediately you're struck with the plurality, right? He didn't just say, pray it as an individual, my Father. Even though earlier in his teaching he'd said, go into your closet and pray to your individual Father. Pray to God, and the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. He said that. But now when they're asking, he's got the collective we. Think of how many times in the prayer it's plural. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver. I mean, 8 times in this prayer, short little prayer, he's focused in on the plurality of our. Why is that? Why would Jesus take such a focus? He's teaching a group, Lord, teach us to pray, but also he knew it was for every person. There's an opportunity for every person to call God their heavenly Father, to take some time and to focus in on the very thing that he says is to be our focus. You know, in the King James Version where it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's probably not a word we use a lot. Some of you kids are here this morning. I've had kids wonder about what that means. Why does it say Harold be thy name? Or Howard be thy name? Or, you know, because we don't understand the word hallowed. In fact, hallowed and hallowed, it's kind of like we would say the word blessed or blessed. It's the same word, just pronounced a little bit differently. And all it means is set apart. It means holy. It means something that is to be honored and elevated and separated from the common. Let's talk about God being our Father. If you've got an insert inside your handout this morning that's white, maybe a place to take some notes that just says, living the praise. And just jot this down. Communication with God, prayer is communication with God, and God is our Father. God is our Father. This is in the direct address mode. God is our Father. What's key about that is because it had not been used prior to Jesus' teaching here, it was eye-opening for the disciples. It was something that was so revolutionary, it ended up hallmarking them. It ended up stamping them as a group of disciples because they prayed with an intimacy and a relationship focus that was not just rote and ritualistic. Up to this time, even John the Baptist's disciples had a certain way that they prayed and certain things that they did that marked them because of their ritual. Jesus' disciples never had that kind of distinction. It says they continually devoted themselves to prayer like Jesus taught them how to pray. Our Father, our Father, our Father. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, which is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So our very identity, who we are, is wrapped up in those couple of words. And I'm here to say to you this morning that I think the reason we struggle so much with prayer is because we don't see our Heavenly Father the way the Lord wants us to see Him. It's an identity problem with who we are and how we see God, with how we see ourselves and how we see God. So He starts it out with a solution for all of us about prayer. If you today are struggling either with the time you do or don't spend, if you've got guilt twangs because I need to be better in prayer, this is not about bumping up that guilt feeling. No, just the opposite. Trying to scrape away anything that would be causing you guilt and just say, just address Him as your Heavenly Father, as Jesus taught you to do. The more you're able to fix your attention on who He is, and your identity in Him, the more likely you're going to be to just run to Him on a regular basis. What's holding us back? What is holding us back from a vibrant prayer life? Or as Chuck mentioned, we've been talking about in here regularly, a prayer-saturated life like Jesus had. I think it's a wrong focus. It's an improper, incorrect, or at least a reduced vision of who God, our Heavenly Father, is. That everything derives its name. All of us, who we are, comes from this Heavenly Father. It says we are fellow citizens of the household of God. I mean, just lift your head when you think about that. We are fellow citizens, members, the Bible says, of the body of Christ, the household of God. When you realize who you are and your identity in God and in Christ, you want to embrace the Heavenly Father who has brought you into that relationship, the one who has allowed us to come to His throne and to boldly make it our own. John chapter 1, verse 12. It's not listed on your deal, but jot it down if you want. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God. Even those, all of those, to as many as believe in His name and trust in Him. There's not a person on the planet that God isn't inviting into this relationship of Father and son, father and daughter, father and child. We are indeed blessed. And so as we address God, our Father, and we just address our prayers. Now, what if we just say, hey, you? What if we just say, God, help? You know, that's probably the best, most effective prayer. It's not that he's trying to get us to be formulistic about it. Oh, if you don't say, our Father, something's wrong. No. My dad's favorite phrase, he would always start his public prayers the same way. And us kids, you know how you kind of get your, you know, you learn your parents really well. He'd always say, our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father. You know, and for a while it was kind of, we'd make fun of him because we always knew how he was going to start the prayer. But after his passing, it became precious to us. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father. You know? How do you start your prayers? What's engaging for you? It's not the formula. It's the relationship. That's what Jesus' focus was and should be ours as well. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father. The reason I want to spend a little bit more time on those couple of words and this phrase, last week I got quite a bit of feedback from people. A couple of people emailed me, a couple of people talked to me, because the daddy wounds in our lives often damages our ability to even think of God as the Heavenly Father. And that's why I'm focusing in and spending some more time and attention on that. You know, Jesus contrasted our Heavenly Father with a hellish father. Jesus contrasted the evil father with the Heavenly Father. Take a minute and look, if you would, to the bad father. Jot that down in your notes if you want. The bad father is where Jesus taught in John chapter 8. So I'm telling you what you've seen in the Father's what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. Notice the contrast in the Father's presence and your Father. He's making a contrast between the Heavenly Father and the evil father, the bad father. Notice what he says. Adam is our father, they announced, or they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that he heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of, what does it say? Your father. Your own father. In contrast to the Heavenly Father, he's saying there's an evil father that's trying to murder in this case. John chapter 10, verse 10. Before we go any further, just jot that down on the side. John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What's it say? The thief only comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the contrast here. The Heavenly Father is about giving abundant and eternal life. The evil father is about the opposite. And he says it this way, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the mark, and it's listed here as, you're trying to murder me, for all I'm doing is telling you from the truth from the Heavenly Father, and you want to kill me. He says, you're listening to the wrong daddy. You're listening to the wrong father. And probably all of us ought to know, when you're born into the world, when you're not redeemed, when you're not under the Heavenly Father's leadership, whose leadership are you under? You're going to be listening to and following someone who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And it leads to, ultimately, what? Death. That's why we call it eternal life. Not the length of it, because it's all long. But life versus death. Death separation from God. Jesus doesn't stop there. He keeps teaching about this contrast. I don't remember us talking much about this in the past. Have you learned about the difference between the bad dad and the good dad? The evil father and the heavenly father? We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your, underline your, father, you would love me, for I've come from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Powerful words. The heavenly father. See, as remote as God is from us, he's really remote from our sin. He wants us. You think about this for a minute. Hallowed be thy name. Separate is your name. Holy are you, O God. But he doesn't want to stay separate from us. Just the opposite. He builds a bridge to us through Jesus Christ, the Lord. He comes to us of his own volition. And he wants to bring us into union, into fellowship, into closeness and relationship with him. If you feel far away from God, you're listening to the lies of the enemy. God says, there's truth here, and here it is. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Can't you understand the words I'm saying? You are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. Oh, that's a powerful one, isn't it? Remember what I said earlier? If you're not redeemed, if you're not under the heavenly father, who's your father? According to this, you belong to your father, the devil. They were listening to lies, obeying lies. They were rejecting the truth. They were listening to the wrong father, the bad daddy, instead of God, the heavenly father. And you want to carry out your father's, again, underline your father's desires. This is what it says. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his own native language, for he is a liar, and he is what? The father of lies. Now this is not meant to scare you, but you got to know there's an evil in the world, and there's a lie that's being bred that would keep you in darkness, that would keep you dead to God, that would kill, steal, and destroy in your life. That's the evil one. That's what Satan wants to do. Two things: murderer and a liar. Clear in this verse. How do you know if Satan's lying? His lips are moving. Yeah, you got it. You kind of go, well, I can't really see it. Well, where's the theater of the battle? It's in our mind. If you have a thought that is against God's word, guess where that stems from? The liar, the father of lies. If you have a thought in your brain that says you're unworthy of God's love, guess where that stems from? Not from the heavenly father, from the evil father. If you have a thought in your mind, I've been too bad, I can't repent, I can't go back, guess where that lie comes from? The pit of hell. From the evil one himself. And we're so used to listening to the father of lies, we can't hear the truth. They couldn't hear the truth, for they were listening to the wrong father, the bad dad, who from the beginning has been breeding lies. If Satan, if the evil one is tempting you with thoughts that are against God's word, do just what Jesus did. Say, get behind me, Satan. Focus in on what God says and hold to that truth no matter what the rest of life looks like. Hang on to the truth and what you know to be true. If a thought contradicts God's word, it is a liar. The Bible calls him in Revelation, the Bible calls the evil one, the accuser of the brethren, of the brothers and sisters. Think about that for a minute. The accuser. Do you ever feel accused? Guess where that stems from? The Heavenly Father. You may feel some Holy Spirit conviction. Conviction is not shame-based. Conviction is not accusatory. It's instead victory-based and saying, calling you to be his child, to be his loved one, to walk in his way. That's not accusing. Satan is the accuser of the brother. The Bible says he stands before God day and night accusing us. That's his job. How pathetic. Oh, that we would rise up as the body of Christ and as we pray our Father, which art in heaven, we begin to catch a vision of what God's best is for us, of our identity in him. Don't get your identity from the father of lies because it's a lie, a pack of lies. And it will lead you nowhere, nowhere healthy. Don't even count on your earthly father. You know, don't even count just on your earthly father. The Bible says that sometimes we're evil too. In fact, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You know, let me say it this way. Whatever was good in your dad, your earthly dad, came from the Heavenly Father. Everything that was evil from your earthly father came from the father of lies. Are you catching that? Now, this is where we're really, partly because we need to train our men to be better dads and more loving examples of who God is. But because that hasn't happened, Satan is able to take the imperfections of our dads and put a barrier between us and our Heavenly Father because of that very word. You following me on that? So I don't know, some of you, as you spoke to me, you said, you know, I had a dad who was neglectful. He was gone all the time. I didn't even know him. One person said the only time they saw their dad was at 14. He was out of their life until he was 14. Came and got him addicted to cocaine for 2 or 3 weeks and then left. Thanks, Dad. I mean, how do you respond to a heavenly father when that's your earthly father? You know? And I'm here to say, God can help. God can help us. And he will help us. Don't even just look at your earthly dad. Now, I had a phenomenal dad. You know, it's been a few months since he passed away. His birthday was a couple days ago. All day, probably more than when he was alive. I was thinking about him all day, you know. Great dad, but imperfect, yeah. Yeah, not on any pedestal, no. So there are things I'm thankful for as pointing me in the direction of God, but at the same time, to realize there's a perfect father. There's a Heavenly Father, way better than any human earthly father, and to be our example as dads of who we ought to emulate and be like. Don't even count on, you know, which of you has a son who asks for a fish is going to give him a snake? Yeah, think of a kid, he's at Denny's or something, and he says, Dad, I want this, I want some french fries, whatever, and you come and throw down a cobra in front of him. Yeah, right. A rattlesnake, right? You know, what dad does that? I mean, even us in our world of warped dads would say, no, nobody's going to do that. You know, he's using an extreme metaphor to get the point across, kind of like the beam in your eye. You know, he's really trying to get some humor here. Which of you who has a son who asks for a fish is going to throw a snake his direction? No, you don't do that. Or if he asks for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? No. But then he says, if you, even though you're evil and you have this human side that's imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Father who is in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Now focus on that for a minute. What he's saying is he's going to put his Holy Spirit in your life. He's going to put him in your heart, and that's the essence of prayer. It's actually our spirit in connection with God's spirit speaking to God the Father. Remember we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? I don't know, some of you, I've had teens tell me this before. You know, God the Father, he's kind of like the mean one. They think of him as the mean one. Now, God the Son, yeah, he's the nice one. Because they can relate to him. They hear stories about him and how he treated people. And then they usually say, you know, the Holy Spirit, that's the weird one. You know, it's the spooky one. Or they'll say something like that. The Father? No. They are a one in the same. The Father's not the mean one. Just the opposite. He didn't just send the Son, and the Son said, no, don't send me. Just the opposite. The Son said, oh, I want to lay my life down for my brothers. And the Father orchestrated it. Are you holding back, maybe because of an imperfect earthly father? God is our Father. In fact, let's talk about the good Father who is perfect. Enough about the bad dad. Let's focus on the good dad. There's so much in the Bible about our heavenly Father. So many examples. From James, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by what? His own desires. And when those desires have conceived, give birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, what? Brings forth death. Don't blame your situation or your temptation on God. We're going to talk about that further because it's in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, leading us into temptation. God is the good God who's not leading. Whatever God does is good. Whatever God does is good. Notice what it says. Every good gift and every perfect present comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I mean, do you believe that, church? Every good gift and every perfect present comes from the Lord. And he doesn't change. Someone boiled down their theology to four words. God, good. Satan, bad. You know, in essence, those four words say it all. Every good gift and every perfect present comes from the Father. Now here's a question. How can we tell what's good? And maybe even to take it another step and to say, remember, there are times when the Heavenly Father even takes the bad stuff in our life and what? Turns it out for good. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There are various passages that talk about how God can take even the negative, the evil things in our life, God can turn them out for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. He'll turn it around. The good father and the good dad. God, what's the little kid's prayer? God is great. God is good. Oh, we just learned that. You know, not just God is good and Satan bad, but God is great and God is good. Do you believe that this morning? That if we really believe those two simple phrases we learned as children in our prayers, it would keep our prayer life far more open. God is great and God is good. Our Heavenly Father. What holds our prayer life back is this wrong thinking about who God is and what he's about in our lives. In Philippians 2:15, it says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God. That's where our identity is. Children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Remember the James passage? that said he's the Father of lights. And here it says you are like shining as lights in the world. He is our Father. He is the one who's brought it into existence. He's the one who sustains it. He's the Father of lights for us. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Now listen to this. "But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." You see, here's one of the neatest things about this prayer. When he says, "Our Father," who's he including in that? Himself. He says, "My God and your God, my Father and your Father." When he says "our," it's not just for the collective teaching. He's including himself in the relationship. You can have the same kind of vibrant relationship that Jesus had with the Father. Instead of looking at him and saying, "Well, he was the perfect prayer, I'll never have that." No, he's actually ushering us into that kind of relationship with the Father. If we have a Christ-like perspective of who the Father is, we can have a Christ-like perspective and prayer life. You following that? It's directly related. You want to grow in your prayer life? Don't just labor over, "I got to be a better prayer, I got to be a better prayer, I got to be a better prayer." No. Focus on your relationship with the Father and your identity in him, and guess what? Your prayer life is going to zoom forward. The way it works in human relationships is the same as it works with our invisible heavenly Father. It's interaction. "I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Christ, Father, and is the God and Father of us all. Mentioned earlier, John chapter 1, verse 12, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the right," or the power, "to become children of God, to as many as believe on his name." You know, when you go to the Lord in prayer, you can actually tell him how bad the evil father has been in your world. You can actually describe what's going on and where there's been attempts to steal your joy, to steal your life, to steal your family. If there would have been times to kill, to steal, and to destroy, talk to the Heavenly Father about that. He's the one who wants to protect and help you. But only that, ask him for help. Solicit his strength, his leadership. Solicit his power to overcome those things. Every bondage in our lives, everything that binds us in a negative way, I think begins with a wrong concept of our Heavenly Father, of who he is and what he's done. And it stems from a lot of father wounds in our lives. And God wants to deal with that, I think, more than ever before, more than at any other time. Here's a testimony of some prayer answers and prayer requests, prayer leadership in our lives. From Renee. That's what it's about, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. That is really what it's about. "Hallowed be your name. Lord, could you be honored? Would your name be lifted up? Would you be the great dad that you are? Would you be the great loving father?" And it's really a living out of that phrase. Not just saying it, not just protecting God's name, not just not taking God's name in vain, but instead honoring it with our lives, letting what we live out be the expression of who God is in and through our lives. It takes a reverent familiarity. It takes a bold reverence, kind of the contrast of those two things. We come boldly into the throne of grace, all the while realizing how great and good God is. His goodness draws us to him. The Bible says, "It's your kindness, O Lord, that draws us to repentance." It's his goodness that and greatness that we focus on. So let's today, let's for this week, let's for this season of our lives, just zero in on our Father, the good dad, on our Father who is in heaven with all strength and power and ability, our Father who is in heaven with a holy, reverent character surrounded by and encased in his name. Let's stand together and pray. Steve, come on up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your call in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to pray your words after you, but more than that, to pray like you prayed. Thank you for allowing us to come to you as our Heavenly Father without fear, without judgment, without restraints, but instead just open doors for us. Father, I pray for the body of Christ here. I pray for my brothers and sisters that we collectively and together would see you in the right light, to see you as you are and to see ourselves as you've created us. Thank you for inviting us the way you have to address you and to come to you, to embrace you as our Heavenly Father. Lord, would you grow us all the more in that relationship. Father, if there's anybody here today who has not yet done what that verse we've read about today says, to receive you, that today would be that day. It says if anybody's received him, they've gave the right to become children of God. If there's anyone here this morning who is not 100% sure that they are a child of the Heavenly Father, they've surrendered themselves and their lives and received you, Lord, I pray that that would be done right now, today, before we leave this, exit this facility. Thank you for the privilege of coming to you and being your children. Father, would you now take this time as we devote ourselves to worship, as we devote ourselves to the Lord's table, communion, the bread, and the fruit of the vine. We pray that this time would be used by you. If there's anybody that needs to have prayer, that they would seek one of our prayer leaders out, that they would just allow themselves to be prayed for and to grow in their relationship with you. Heavenly Father, use this time, use our lives, because we want you to know we adore you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.